Today's recording is Lizchus the Refuah Shleim in honor of the complete healing of Chaya Sarah Bas Bela. May she have a miraculous recovery among all those that need a salvation by an anonymous sponsor. The Shulamite woman, blackened by the sun, yearns for her heart's chosen one. Her lover, who pastures his flock among the lilies, has sworn eternal love to his pure dove. The lover longs for his faithful bride. His soul thirsts for her. The most beautiful of women wanders about within the city walls in the pale, moon-enchanted nights. Early in the dewy, sun-drenched mornings, she goes out into the orchards. She is looking for the beloved of her soul, who is standing among the shadows, watching from the byways, peering through the cracks. Lovesick, she searches for her partner. She searches for him but cannot find him. Has her lover left her and forgotten her for eternity? Has he forgotten the affection of their wedding day and departed from her forever? The lad with the beautiful eyes skips along the hills toward his dear bride. He pursues the Shulamite woman, who hides in rock crannies and behind cliffs. He is attracted by her grace, her image continually before his eyes. He is full of longing, aflame with yearning. With quick steps he approaches his partner, but he does not meet her. The hour of their meeting has arrived. At this very moment, the lad retreats and hides among the rocks. "You are beautiful, my beloved. Your eyes are doves," he sings, hidden among the ancient glorious hills. He sees her, but cannot be seen. He is very, very close to her, but also immeasurably distant. "And you, my beloved, are handsome and pleasing," she replies from among the tender river shoots. Trembling, she rushes out to greet her lover. Her heart pounds. Will he appear from the quiet glowing horizon? Will he alight before her in the orchard lanes? She hears the rustle of footsteps on the hills, in the valleys, among the tender river shoots, and in the garden paths where the almond and pomegranate trees blossom. She bestirs herself and goes out to greet him. Suddenly, the echo melts away and disappears in the sun-drenched distance. He will love her forever. He will always remember the grace of her youth. He has not sent his partner away, nor has he handed her a bill of divorce. Yet in spite of all of this, their love cannot be realized. Their yearning cannot be fulfilled completely. But why? Why must he flee from her at the moment that she pursues him? Why does he not look and see that she is mad with longing and yearning? Why does he not say to her, "Lift your eyes and see that I have fulfilled my vow and arrived"? The beloved returns home from her wanderings, from mountain to mountain, from hill to hill, along winding roads and twisting paths, tensely alert. Her entire being pleads for her lover's arrival. She is a tempest of yearning for him, totally absorbed in listening for the slightest rustle. Her whole being asks, "Where has my beloved gone?" Her entire self pleads, "If you meet my beloved, tell him this, that I am sick with love." She sobs in her agony, loneliness, and suffering. Suddenly, her lover appears from the obscurity of the dark night, knocking on his dear one's door and whispering faithfully, "Let me in, my sister, my darling, my dove, my perfect one, for my head is drenched with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. I have arrived, I have kept my word, I have fulfilled the vision. Your desire has been fulfilled, your longing has not been in vain. I have yearned for you, I, the companion of your youth, am now here. You shall follow me and never be separated from me." The beloved awakens from her sleep and listens to the gentle knocking and voice of her lover. His voice burns its way into her heart, kindling there an ancient flame. Nevertheless, the beloved refuses to rise from her bed and open the door to her lover. The cold of the moonless, starless night, deep weariness, laziness, and fear combine to paralyze her will and bind her legs. Why should she refuse to undo the latch and open the door to her lover? Hasn't she been searching for him day and night? Hasn't she been pursuing him? The scarlet-clad daughters of Jerusalem are astonished and they whisper among themselves, this sort of game, a lover who yearns yet hides, a bride who conceals herself, what does this mean? This was a summary of the entire book, the dialectic, the running and hiding, the loving and concealing of Shir Shirim of the Song of Songs. What I've read was the first chapter of Rav Soloveitchik's And From There You Shall Seek, his poetic synopsis of the whole book of Shir Shirim, which is the mysterious love story of God and the Jewish people, the hiding and returning, the yearning and then being lazy to open the door. The holiest of all the books of the Bible, Shir Shirim, the Song of Songs, has captured the hearts and minds of Jews since Shlomo HaMelech, since King Solomon wrote it. And besides being the subject of Rav Soloveitchik's From There You Shall Seek, its countless Hasidic mamorim, Hasidic discourses, come to explain all the psukim, the verses of Shir Shirim. And one could spend a lifetime learning about it, but we're going to this week focus on one pasuk. At the point where the handsome lad, of course God, comes knocking on our door. Let me in, my sister, my darling, my dove, my perfect one. We will learn about it and see how it's God knocking on the doors of our hearts, and hopefully we'll learn a little more how to let God in.